Time now on our pregame show to visit with Brent Bolte, head coach of the Beavers. Brent, there were so many ups and downs to that game against Minnesota State a week ago. Do you like how you, the staff, and the players kind of handled all the ups and downs?
Yeah, and we talk a lot about this. It's kind of a broken record probably hearing it from me, but I think you're defined, you know, through adversity how you handle it. I think your staff and everybody at halftime, you know, there's a sense of calm. They knew that we were going to be in it. Even when I came out and talked to the officials, they were almost, you know, oh, you guys would have, could have, should have. I'm like, we're going to win this game. And the guy kind of looked at me, and unfortunately, you know, he came up to me right before the last drive. He's like, yep, you're right. I'm like, kiss of death. But no, I didn't feel like we were out of it. We certainly did a lot of things on our own end to make it easier on Mankato to get some points. So that definitely was a frustration. And in the turnover before half was probably one on me, where we could just went in the halftime instead of trying to get points and maybe just limit the damage to be down, you know, 14 instead of 17 at that point. But, you know, if I'm going to get, to be honest with you, I'm going to get the ball in Alt's hand as much as I can, let him go, make things up. And I think everybody just calmed down the second half. We just didn't have as many mistakes as we did in the first half, and still gave ourselves a shot to win the game at the end, which really in the first game is what I kept talking to the guys about. Hey, have an opportunity to win the game in the fourth, which we did. But just honestly, we got to look in the mirror and clean things up on our end. Not going to win a lot of college football games with that many turnovers and just miscues on our side of stuff.
What were some of the positives that you maybe didn't see until you watched the game back?
Well, I think starting on the defensive side of the ball, you know, you give up 37 points, but really only gave up two drives. I think that were over 50 yards. So they were putting a lot of compromised spots. You know, Mankato had a really good returner. They did some good things in the return game. Obviously, the turnovers, which you already mentioned, but I thought we handled the run game pretty well. I thought our secondary, for the most part, didn't give up big plays, which was our kind of Achilles heel last year. So we're pretty tough if we just make teams drive the ball. They might get a few first downs here and there, but make them earn it when you get in the red zone. Make them earn opportunities and make them kick field goals instead of getting touchdowns. So I thought the defensive side of the ball played pretty well. And on offense, you know, we showed flashes of being really, really good. I thought the O-line, obviously, you know, we wish we could run the ball a little bit more, but they make it tough in terms of the way they do things up front. But we left a lot of things out there on offense too. But I thought for the most part, there was a level of execution in the pass game. We protected all pretty well in the second half and, you know, for most of the game. But that's, again, when you score 30-some-odd points, you feel like, hey, it was a pretty good game. But it was really just the turnovers that were the issue on that side of the ball.
Where do you stand philosophically on getting yardage from your running backs in unconventional, well, maybe it's not even unconventional nowadays, but getting yards out of the passing game from them too?
I think it's important the way that we run our offense. Like, we just got to get those guys touches. If they're going to bottle us up and play tight fronts and reduce running lanes inside, then we just got to get those guys the ball. Obviously, Jalen Fry and Sage Booker, dynamic, just getting the ball in their hands, and I think that was noticeable. It's a tough matchup on linebackers. It's a tough matchup, heck, with corners on those guys. So that's something that was definitely in the game plan, something that we've always wanted to do. They probably hit a few more big plays. Sage hit the big one. Jalen had a couple nice plays. I thought Sage really played well in the pat, or, you know, when he got the ball in his hands out in space. So, yeah, we have a lot of weapons on offense. We just got to get back to, you know, running the ball a little bit more effectively, making it not where it's just going to be the Brandon Ault show. We got to be able to run the ball, even though it's hard to take the ball out of his hands at times. I get it, but which we will. We have a good offensive line. We just got to get back to some fundamental things of staying on some blocks and doing a little bit better job on that side.
What are some of the athletic traits that a running back needs to be good in the passing game?
You know, I think a lot of it goes back to, for us at least, you know, obviously just good eye-hand coordination. A lot of those guys, it's like, you know, it's foreign to them. They get the ball handed off and they don't contort and catch the ball very well. Some of those guys have paddle for hands, probably why they are running backs, not receivers. But we utilize those guys a lot. I mean, Carson and Coach Hine and, you know, Tuck and those guys, in terms of the coaches, they're treated a lot like receivers in terms of the way that we prep them, the way we drill them. So that's something that they've been able to get better at. Jalen wasn't a great pass catcher when he got here. I would say he was pretty average, but now I say he's pretty darn good. So you know, the attributes of a good running back in terms of what we look at are a lot like your slot receivers. So that's the nice part of what we have for an offense, kind of a plug and play a little bit with those guys.
The kicking game certainly was challenging last week, to put it one way, I guess. How much of that was just the moving parts and bodies that you had?
Yeah, I think we go back, I thought, you know, Connor obviously struggled, Kusick, and the first PAT was not his fault, and probably either of those. We got pressure up the middle. They blocked it before he really got it off. It wasn't anything to do with Connor or execution of the snap hold kick. Obviously, we did just flat out miss one later on in terms of a PAT, hence why we probably went for it on the fourth down in the first quarter, not to take the points, but luckily we got a touchdown out of that. But we got to be cleaner. We talk about being automatic in that group. I don't think we missed a PAT last year, so it was frustrating to start the year out that way. But I thought Max, when he took over the duties in the second half, punted the ball well. Both of them actually punted the ball well. It was just our coverage teams. They had a pretty dynamic kid back there, the transfer, where we thought we had him bottled up, and all of a sudden he squirted out, and he's pretty darn dynamic in that sense. But, you know, our kickoffs, we were pretty one-dimensional, kicking away from him the entire night, so we sacrificed some yardage in that sense. But, you know, it was, I mean, we gave up 2 or 3 points off the scoreboard, you know, with the PATs and probably not kicking field goals where we had opportunities. We had the muff punt. We had, you know, muffed on kickoff returns. So it's not just one singular guy in the special teams world. We need to address that if we're going to win at a high level this year. It was pretty noticeable and something that we talked about a lot as a staff and need to address.
More with Coach Bolte when we come back. Our pregame continues here on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part two with head coach Brent Bolte. On to Augustana. Everyone certainly knows you ended their season a year ago. I think everyone assumes that, you know, they're going to come out guns a-blazing. How important is the start today?
I mean, every week on the road is going to be one of those deals to settle down and go out and play. I'm sure it's going to be a good environment. I'm sure they got a sour taste in their mouth from last year. Which they should. They obviously were the home team for a reason. They were a good college football team. But I think last year's last year. I think that was proven in game one. They're certainly not the Augie of 2021 either. They do have a lot of good players, don't get me wrong, but they lost some really, really good players. So I think they're, you know, searching their way into an identity on their side. They got a new quarterback, which Sadler reminds me of Alt. Seemed like he was there forever. Really good football player. The young man they got there now is a transfer from Montana State. Big athletic kid that certainly has all sorts of potential. Got a really good offensive line and 2 really good running backs. They're just a sound, good football team all the way through. So getting off the bus and getting going is going to be important. Also, just to build off what we were able to do really past, you know, our own mistakes in game one, and just, you know, give good feeling of some confidence on the road.
They've got weapons offensively, like you mentioned. Do you have a good sense as to how they're going to try to use those weapons?
You know, in game one, it's hard to tell, right? Because with a new quarterback, they were doing a lot of double counts, checking with the coordinator, getting into good plays. It did seem it was, you know, underlying kind of similar stuff what they did on both sides. Concordia St. Paul lost their starting quarterback, and they got real aggressive on the backup, so blitz a little bit more. But in the first half, they were kind of the same identity. Just make it hard to run. They're physical. I mean, they're, again, just a really, really good football unit on both sides of the ball. And special teams, they were solid. So you're going to have to earn it up and down the field on both sides against them. They're going to, you know, pound the ball on offense. I think they average, you know, 6 yards a pop and over 250 yards on the ground. The quarterback's a big running threat. I would have a high likely, you know, or a sense that they'll get their receivers involved. I think they do have a really good receiving group. They just weren't able to spread it out quite as much. And he had a couple early turnovers, so I think they limited what he was doing and had so much success on the ground. So they kind of, it's not broke, don't go a different direction. So I think they probably have a bigger playbook than they showed, but they didn't really need it. They just pounded the ball and were able to go that way.
Defensively, are they a traditional four-man front, or are they kind of hybrid like most teams are now?
No, they're pretty traditional. I'd say it's a very similar philosophy to what Mankato brought in. Make it hard, some tight front stuff where you have to get creative in the run game to be able to run the ball against them, which is what we have to be able to do to control the clock. Otherwise, they'll bleed it and just hammer the ball on offense and kind of keep play, keep away. But, it's kind of the same old, same old. They got a good secondary. They got good, you know, linebackers that return a lot of players. They don't have Logan Swanson, which who was a man-child in the middle for him for a few years there. Arguably, I don't know how he was not first-team all-conference. If I was OJ, I'd still be throwing stuff at the committee for that or whoever voted that way. But I thought he was one of the best players in the NSIC in a long, long time. So that was a big part of their success in terms of just bottling things up. But they got some dynamic guys on the D-line. They got good players in the secondary and at linebacker too. So we're going to have our work cut out for us. Their ranking is definitely legit in that aspect. They're a top 25 team for sure. So it's going to be a battle going down there to Augustana.
You're going to have a handful of guys, and you're a fairly veteran team, but you're going to have a handful of guys. This is their first road trip. What's that like?
You know, it's always a little bit different. It's all new, you know, for those guys. So, yeah, the NCAA allows us to take 64 instead of 58, which is traditional. After really your second road game, it goes back down to 58. So we could expand that a little bit. So we'll probably have, maybe 8-10 guys that will be their first road trip. But some of those guys were able to travel last year, maybe not compete. We had that opportunity to travel a few guys in the playoffs especially, and then obviously being around, some of the local games, which they were able to get back and forth through, at least be on the sideline. So for some of them, it'd be completely new. But really, I enjoy getting on the road. You get away from just some distractions. I think we play well on the road. So me personally as a coach, I like – stepping on the bus, and it's just a work trip, and it's fun being around the guys. And the bigger part of road trips is not necessarily football. You get to BS with the guys and learn some different stuff about them, and just it's kind of a little bit more not coach player deal. It's just kind of a bunch of guys on a road trip down to Sioux Falls, so it's fun in that regard. But yet we talk a lot about it with our staff and our players. Is it's a work trip, man. Like we lock in when we step off the bus, and we know what we have to get accomplished.
How do you lean on your captains, especially, to get that message across of let's put your head down and just get back to work after a loss?
Yeah, and the message was pretty clear. It was probably direct to you on the radio and direct to our players after the game, like taking nothing against Mankato or taking away from them, but we can't give things away. And I felt like we gave too many opportunities to a good team, which probably was a direct result in why the scoreboard looked the way it did at the end of the game and we came up short. So the message was, let's worry about the guys in the mirrors. Let's worry about our team, our staff, worry about what Bemidji State can do. I told them straight out, like, hey, we can beat any team on our schedule, but the sad fact in the SIC, you can lose anybody if you're not locked in and you have too many mistakes. So we found out that firsthand and a hard lesson where I thought we possibly we're the better team, but keep up on the short end of the stick. And on the flip side, we won these games last year. We got to find a way to continue to do that. And that's kind of been our MO at BSU, is find a way to be in games in the fourth quarter and find a way to win it and come out on the right side of the ledger. So we got to continue to do that. And our captains have been around the block. They get it. And I think we'll be leaning on those guys and expect those guys to rebound.
Best of luck.
Appreciate it.
Brent Bolte, head coach of the Beavers, starting lineups next right here on the Beaver Radio Network.